Good evening, America. This is Baseball Sunday. I'm Kevin Harlan. Tonight, reports on Major League Baseball Today. We'll have the scores and stories and insights. The editor of USA Today's baseball section, Hal Bodley, will join us for Bodley on Baseball. We'll talk with the Detroit Tigers' Darrell Evans. And, of course, the format of the show devoted to baseball fans from coast to coast. The phone lines are open right now at 1-800-255-5708. Right now, let me take you live to Boston's Fenway Park in Carl Beam.
Detroit ends Boston's home winning streak at 24, beating Clemens 18-6. Lemon and Evans 3 apiece, 5 RBIs apiece. Eric King, the winner, for Clemens' his third straight loss. Details coming up. Now let's go to Jerry Hoffman in Minneapolis.
The Yankees avenged yesterday's 12-2 loss of the Twins. They win today 9-6, taking the deciding game of a 3-game set. They remain 4 games in back of the Tigers in the East. Meanwhile, time starting to run out for the Minnesota Twins. Now to Dodger Stadium, Anthony Muretti in Los Angeles.
The Dodgers have taken the first 2 from the Giants in this big 4-game series here in Los Angeles. Can they make it 3 straight? Los Angeles holds a 2.5-game lead over Houston and 4.5 over San Francisco. Today, Earl Hershiser opposes Kelly Downs. Details upcoming on Baseball Sunday.
Via satellite, it's the program that has America talking baseball. This is Baseball Sunday on the Ford Entertainment Network, featuring the biggest stories from this week in baseball, guest interviews, and your calls from across America. Baseball Sunday is brought to you by The Sporting News. No matter what your sport, The Sporting News brings it home to you. And by U.S. Sprint, America's long-distance fiber optic network. And now, here's the host of our show, Kevin Harlan.
All right, Lance, thank you very much, and a pleasant good evening, America. This is Baseball Sunday, the show that has America talking baseball. Our toll-free line's open to you right now at 1-800-255-5708. John Doolittle is standing by in the newsroom. We'll go to him momentarily for scores and updates from Major League Baseball today. But it's a pleasure now to welcome Jason Dorfman, the walking baseball encyclopedia, the man that knows more baseball than how much. If we're trying to give the listener, Jason, a feel of what you know, what can we compare it to? What is there something that they could really relate to out there?
Just somebody who loves the game. Don't call me a walking encyclopedia. People will be calling up in 40 minutes asking me games of 1912.
I like that, though. Babe Ruth used to pitch well. We'll talk about that later. Let's talk about some of the big stories in baseball this week, Jason. Night baseball in Chicago, not once, but twice.
It was great.
You were there, yeah.
I was there Tuesday night, and of course there were people that are saying, when was the first opening night at Wrigley? Was it Monday against the Phillies? Was it Tuesday against the Mets? And in 20 years, people might be saying, how many opening nights do they have at Wrigley? Because the game with the Phillies will be played September 5th as a twi-nighter. Mm-hmm. Will that be an opening night with an asterisk? All I know, it was exciting. As far as being at the game, they still have the ivy. They have the bricks. They have these maniacs on top of the rooftops. It's a beautiful stadium, and the lights don't diminish it at all, Kevin. It was great. And I also was afforded the luxury of being at Thursday's game, so I saw a little bit of night baseball and a little bit of daytime ball.
For the folks that have not been to Wrigley nor have seen the light standards and fixtures, they resemble a lot of the character of the stadium, very old and have kind of a period look to them.
Right. It's not the modern lights that you see at the stadiums built in the last 10, 15 years, but it's also not the same set of lights that you'd find at Tiger Stadium, which looks like something built from an Erectoset. It's got terrific charm. And the question is, when you look around the stadium and you really study it, how come the ivy doesn't grow where the dimensions are in the power alleys? How's that possible?
I don't know. It's interesting to talk about. We will just momentarily. The Red Sox, long winning streak at home in Fenway.
You know, the Red Sox haven't lost at home, I think, since Dukakis got the nomination. But they got beat pretty good today. And, of course, as you know, Kevin, with NFL exhibition scores, today's 18-6 game, you know, was a rout. But Clemens has lost the last 3 games, and it's very possible that he's injured, and we'll find out in a day or so.
Will somebody pick up Don Sutton, who was just released by the Los Angeles Dodgers?
I think absolutely. Sutton will be pitching again. Now, the Twins last year picked up Steve Carlton and Joe Niekro. We're not talking any you know, babies over here. So Sutton would be a candidate if the Twins are serious. But at the same time, the Yankees have so many pitchers that have problems, so many pitchers that are hurt. And Don Sutton, with all he wants to do in broadcasting, if he played for the Yankees, would have a nice briefcase during the day looking for a job.
Let's see if we can sneak in one call here. Natick, Massachusetts. Peter, you're our opening question tonight. Thank you for calling.
Yes, do you think the Red Sox need more bodies in their lineup?
Repeat that one more time.
Do you think the Red Sox need more bodies in their lineup?
Need more bodies?
Yes.
What do you mean? More strength, more power?
More strength, more power, more
All right.
pitching.
Jason,
think,
what do you think?
Well, Red Sox, as we've discussed previously, are a blend of right-hitting, left-hitting experience and youth. The addition of Joey Reed instead of Spike Owen hitting 60 points higher with the same amount of at-bats. Red Sox have a very good team. It's just that they might not have the stability in the rotation as the Tigers.
Thank you for the call, Peter, from Natick, Massachusetts. It's surprising that team, which is a team in transition. You look at the elder statesmen like Jim Rice and Dewey Evans, but they've got, as you just mentioned very accurately, some bright young names on that Boston Red Sox team. We're going to take a break, 13 past the hour. Phone lines open, toll free, 1-800-255-5708. And this show comes from the facilities of KCMO in Kansas City. And if you're in the Kansas City area, the phone number to call is 576-7681. The area code there is 816-576-7681. Toll-free nationwide is 800-255-5708. Baseball Today with John Doolittle coming up on Baseball Sunday. Sunday continues. 15 past the hour. I'm Kevin Harlan alongside Jason Dorfman. To the newsroom we go, and John Doolittle. John, good evening.
Kevin, good evening, and Jason to you all across America. The finals from Baseball Today are in. Let's talk about them now. At Fenway Park, Boston, the Detroit Tigers put an abrupt end to the Bo Sox 24-game Fenway Park win streak. 18-6 the rout today. Chet Lemon, Darrell Evans each drove home five. The Tigers chased Red Sox ace Roger Clemens in the second inning. More next hour with our reporter on the scene, Carl Bean, in Beantown. Minneapolis's Metrodome, a five-run seventh, lifted the Yankees in front of the Twins and put them ahead to stay. 9-6 the final, New York over Minnesota. Jack Clark broke a 2-2 tie, driving home a pair of runs with a single in the fifth. And the Yankees rallied for five more in the following frame. That was highlighted by Rafael Santana's two-run single. John Candelaria got the win. More than 50,000 in each of the three games over the weekend at the Metrodome. Royal Stadium, Kansas City. The Royals blanked the Blue Jays 6-0. Rookie Luis Aquino pitched his first Major League shutout. We'll hear from Ernie Witt next hour about the young right-hander of the Royals. Aquino gave six hits, struck out four, walked three in his second start since coming up from the minors. In Cleveland, Bobby Witt allowed only four hits against Cleveland in pitching his seventh straight complete game for Texas, but it was Cleveland beating the Rangers anyhow, 3-0. Brooke Jacoby's third-inning solo home run was the only run the Tribe needed today for the victory. Milwaukee County Stadium, Baltimore, counted on homers from Mickey Tettleton, Eddie Murray, and Cal Ripken to outscore the Brewers 11-9. Next hour, we'll have reports on California and Oakland. Dave Stewart and Mike Witt, the starters in that one. Also, the White Sox and Seattle at the Kingdome. Mike Moore and Bill Long in that contest. National League today, the highlight game and the highlight doubleheader, for that matter, in New York Shea Stadium. The Mets won the first of two with Montreal, scoring a run in the bottom of the ninth to take game one, 4-3. We'll tell you more about that game and game two next hour with our reporter in New York. In Philadelphia, Pittsburgh's Andy Van Slyke homered with one out of the ninth to put the Pirates in front to stay 9-8. The Pittsburgh win over Philadelphia. Bobby Bonilla also homered and joined Van Slyke in hitting their 20th round-trippers of the year. Astrodome in Houston. It was the Mark Parent show as the Padres downed the Houston Astros 6-1. Parent hit his first two Major League homers in driving in five of the Padres' six runs. He's the first San Diego player to drive in five runs in a game this year. Riverfront in Cincinnati, Tim Burtz has picked up his first victory in 3 years. The Reds shut out the Atlanta Braves 2-0. Game's still in progress that we'll tell you more about later on. The Cubs and St. Louis Cardinals at Wrigley Field. Last check, Cubs were up 6-3. We'll get you an update and a final as soon as possible. And on the coast, San Francisco leading big early on the Los Angeles Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. A report of final on that one next hour comes your way as well on Baseball Sunday. Some of the headliners this week, the first Wrigley Field night game that wasn't Monday in Chicago. Jason was there. He'll talk more about that later on. They did play officially on Tuesday, 6-4, the Cubs over the Mets. The Twins came up with their second triple play of the year earlier this week. Bob Horner, the Cardinals, will have more time off, shoulder surgery again. Clyde King is the 28th, yes, 28th Yankees pitching coach in 15 years under Steinbrenner. Frank Viola, the Majors' first 18-game winner, he accomplished that feat with a victory on Wednesday. The same day, Don Sutton was released by the Dodgers. Jason thinks he's headed elsewhere. It was Sutton winning 324 games before he got the pink slip with Los Angeles. Greg Walker, released from a Chicago hospital, scheduled a workout with the White Sox again soon, but his condition remains closely watched after a seizure of vessels of his brain. A very serious story, and we'll continue to follow it here on the Ford Entertainment Network. Montreal's Floyd Yeomans will be eligible to pitch again for the Expos August 24th as he continues drug rehabilitation. Gary Carter, finally, his 300th home run Thursday in Chicago. Kevin McReynolds, Danny Tartable hit Grand Slam home runs this week. Cal Ripken joined Ernie Banks as the only two shortstops to hit 20 or more homers 7 straight years. Larry Boas back with the Phillies as their third base coach. Milwaukee took three of four against the Red Sox at County Stadium, and Boston had their troubles in Milwaukee. Toronto swept the Yankees in New York 3 straight. Giants pitcher Don Robinson, a one-hitter against the Astros earlier this week, his first complete game since 1982, his first shutout since 1980. The Red Sox did win 24 straight at Fenway, then they were blown out today. And Brett Butler and Tony Pena, each career hit number 1,000 this week. Some of the stories we've been following, John Doolittle from the Ford Entertainment Network Newsroom.
Thank you, John. 20 after the hour, this is Baseball Sunday. Toll-free lines open to you at 1-800-255-5708. In the Kansas City area, the number is 576-7681. I'd like to welcome two new stations to the family of Baseball Sunday affiliates nationwide, coast-to-coast on Baseball Sunday and the Ford Entertainment Network. From the Chicago area, WSSY-AM, the program director is Tom Johnson. That fine outfit out of Chicago in the Northbrook area, WSSY, and in Nacogdoches, Texas, KEEE. Welcome those stations to our Ford Entertainment Network. Our number again, 800-255-5708. We go now to Tampa, Florida. David, you're coast-to-coast on Baseball Sunday. Good evening.
Hello. First of all, I'd like to say that Don Sutton is not going to be the answer to the Yankees' pitching problems. Obviously, they need relief help, and I wondered if they were doing anything about getting some relief help, because Rigetti has been absolutely awful.
Down this pennant stretch would make some sense, Jason.
I agree with you very much. The Yankees right now are the most confused and mixed-up pitching staff, and based on that, if Steinbrenner feels that Sutton can go 7 innings, maybe win 2 or 3 games, he might be worth a shot. There are people in New York that have been following the Yankees for 40 or 50 years that think that if Ron Guidry is only capable of pitching 2 or 3 good innings, he should be in the bullpen. Rigetti should start.
Right.
And when you go into a big series like at County Stadium, I witnessed Dave Island and Steve Shields pitching, and the Yankees came home. I got a 4 o'clock in the morning flight, and Gooderman was pitching against the Twins. Now, John Candelaria is an excellent pitcher, but in the 5th inning, he can go at any time. Rick Roden's the ace of the staff, but he's lost some tough games, so he's, what, 7-8? That really makes Tommy John your ace in the hole. The man's 45, and he's complaining. I think the Yankees at this point are looking for any kind of help they can get.
You make some good points. I was wondering about Charles Hudson. When is he coming off the DL, and do you think he can help?
He'll be off the DL soon, but Hudson's the kind of pitcher that really needs to work, and he'd like to be in a rotation. If they put him in the bullpen with Neil Allen and Stoddard and Guante, it's going to be one pinball machine after another, because these guys cannot come in the 7th inning and do the job.
All right, we thank you for the call, David, from Tampa, Florida tonight. We have to take a break, 23 past the hour. Upcoming is Bodley on Baseball. We'll talk with USA Today's baseball editor, Hal Bodley. That's coming up next. We'll take this break. This is the Ford Entertainment Network. The man who handles the baseball section for USA Today is Hal Bodley, and Hal is with us live with Bodley on Baseball. Hal, good evening.
Good evening, Kevin.
How's your week been? I take it that you went to Wrigley to watch the first night game at Chicago's Wrigley Field.
No, I was not there.
Hal.
I figured it was going to be too chaotic, and it turns out it was a good decision because of the rainout.
What have you heard about the things surrounding the rainout in Game 1, then, of course, the completed official game in Rain 2? What in Game 2? What did your guys tell you when they came back with stories out of Chicago?
Well, you know, I asked the question first thing Tuesday morning for our paper. That I said, when is the first game going to be recorded for Wrigley Field? I mean, will it go down as August the 8th or August the 9th?
Uh-huh.
Well, the way we're going to do it, the first official game was played on August the 9th, and the first game was started on August the 8th. And, you know, a lot of the fanfare and a lot of the things that happened in that first game will be recorded.
Was it too built up? Was it too hyped?
Oh, I think so. And I said all along, Kevin, I think it was a bad idea. We did not need lights in Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And I think a lot of people around America agree as well. Don Sutton released from the Los Angeles Dodgers. Did that catch you by surprise?
Not really, because he was struggling when he went on the disabled list back in June. And he really had a tough week. He goes on the disabled list, and a few days later, his mother is killed in an auto accident.
Mm.
Real tough week for Don Sutton.
Indeed it was, but not for the Boston Red Sox, who did accomplish the winning streak at Fenway Park. They have the new American League record for consecutive wins at home, and they did it in high style yesterday, but they got beaten the same way today by Detroit.
Boy, they really went down the drain today, and they have to be a little bit concerned about Roger Clemens. Although Dr. Arthur Pappas, the Red Sox team physician, says that the back strain, which apparently is causing a lot of his problems, will not necessitate him going on the disabled list. But, you know, when Pappas was asked whether or not he would miss a start, he wouldn't commit himself on that. But 8 runs in an inning and a third, Clemens' worst start ever.
Yeah, kind of surprising. John?
Hi, Hal. How are you today?
Hello.
A couple of the issues I was hitting on earlier in the program. First of all, the Greg Walker situation. What's the latest on that, and how guarded is his situation, and what can you tell us?
I've heard that he's rapidly improving, but that it'll be a long time before he plays baseball again.
And a couple of the other things you mentioned in the paper, or the paper did, the correspondents that follow it closely, Montreal's Floyd Yeomans. He will be allowed to come back, but will he come back?
Well, I don't know. I hear mixed reports about that. I've heard that maybe the Expos, you know, might try to make a deal to get rid of him. They're very down on the fact that he had this problem, and that's open for debate, whether the team should be or should not be. I knew about 10 days ago that the commissioner's office was watching this very closely, and if he did what he was supposed to do as far as aftercare treatment is concerned, that they would let him return to baseball.
Bob Horner, his situation, more shoulder surgery, so it looks like he's on the shelf for the remainder of the year in St. Louis.
It really does, and, you know, it really clouds his future as far as the Cardinals is concerned, too.
And finally, from what I have, from the headline standpoint, you hit it on the head, Larry Bull back in Philadelphia. That was not a big surprise.
No, not for me at all, because I knew they were talking with him, and one of the big things they were trying to decide was whether or not it be for the remainder of this year or for this year and next year.
But
as it turns out, it's going to be just for the remainder of this year to see how the chemistry works out.
Do you see him, if things go better with him and the ball club, is he a potential manager maybe down the line in Philadelphia again in case Lee Elias' situation doesn't work out?
I'll tell you what, they recycle managers so often in baseball these days. So anytime a player or a former manager is on third base, he's got a good shot. And I think that's a possibility.
Jason, fire away.
How are you tonight, Hal?
Well, I'm surviving. How are you out there?
Not too bad. You missed a good game at Wrigley Tuesday night when it didn't rain.
That's right.
But I wanted to talk to you about a ball player who I feel has been very influential for two teams fighting for a pennant, and that's Dave Henderson. Now, the first 10 weeks of the season, Carney Lansford carried the A's. In the last 10 weeks, of course, it's been Canseco. We've had steady pitching out in Oakland with Welch and Stuart Neckersley. Henderson's having a career year. He's hitting about .304, 17 home runs, and 68 RBIs. And he's caught a few home run balls by jumping over the fence. And it's interesting that this is a guy that the Giants had also in the Bay Area last year. And right now, Al Rosen is scratching his head looking for a right-handed outfielder. And Henderson has really played a role, I think, for both teams. Do you hear anything about what the Giants might be doing to take up a right-handed slack?
No, but I know there's a lot of talk. A lot of the contenders are trying to, you know, to get that one key player that might be able to put them over the top, you know, as they go down the stretch this year.
Henderson is really an interesting person. He's been on more teams and been on more free agent lists, it seems to me, in the last few years than any player in baseball. Of course, you know, he can be a free agent again this year.
Right, and he's having an outstanding year, and he just doesn't get the publicity that they all get in Oakland. You mentioned about a player that's been on several teams. Of course, Dave LaPointe traded yesterday to the Pirates, and they, of course, need a left-hander. When you look at the top seven Mets as far as their batting average, six are left-handed.
That's right. I don't think the Pirates are going to make it. They won today, but, you know, they blew a six-run lead twice in that ballgame and finally just won by one run on Andy Van Slyke's home run. So their pitching is hurting, and it was probably a good deal for them. And what this shows, I mean, we talked about this last week, this shows that some ball clubs that think they have a shot are going to go out and they're going to trade away some young talent to get a seasoned pitcher or a seasoned player.
This is our Bodley on Baseball segment with USA Today's Hal Bodley, the man that handles baseball for that fine publication. We'll come back and go to your calls nationwide. The toll-free number, 800-255-5708. And in the Kansas City area, it is 576-7681. Lines available right now, 32 past the hour. Hal Bodley takes your calls across the country. Following these messages. Baseball Sunday continues. I'm Kevin Harlan alongside Jason Dorfman and John Doolittle. This is our Bodley on Baseball segment with USA Today's Hal Bodley. Hal, you ready to go to the calls?
Fine. You know, last week we were talking a little bit about free agents, and I said I'd be prepared this week to talk about some of the catchers that are available.
Okay, what have you found out for us?
Start with Atlanta. Bruce Benedict will be available. Probably the best catcher that who could be a free agent this year would be Jody Davis of the Cubs. Also, Jim Sundberg would be available. Your own Jamie Quirk in Kansas City. Those are the key guys. Chris Bando with Cleveland. Quite a few catchers will be available. Mike Scioscia might be with the Dodgers, although they have an option on his contract.
And what a catcher he is.
Really?
He is outstanding.
You got to believe they're going to sign him in a hurry.
I got to believe that, too. John?
I had one thing before we go to the calls, Hal. What about the fines of the Cub players that went out on the tarp and did the belly flops on the wet tarp and all of that? $500 apiece. What do you think about that?
I couldn't agree with Don Zimmer anymore. I think it was perfectly the right thing to do because those players are supposed to project an image, and going out and doing that is not an image. I mean, they arrest fans for doing it, so why should the players be allowed to do it?
Is it different, say, when Rick Dempsey of the Dodgers, and he did it back in his Oriole days, is that a different kind of thing, or how do you evaluate it?
Well, I don't know whether it's a different thing or not, but, you know, he was a clown anyway, so people wanted to see it. But this came unexpectedly, and I don't think it was proper thing to do.
You know something, Hal? Tuesday at 4:30, a meeting for the Cubs with Don Zimmer was scheduled over the weekend to talk Tuesday about just the necessary things you need to do to move runners along. But once the players went out and started swimming, Jim Fry showed up at that meeting in the clubhouse. So it was more Fry's meeting than Zimmer's based on that incident.
What was it all about? What was the agenda for the meeting? Was it moving runners along or sliding along on the tarp?
Well, it had a lot to do with both. Don Zimmer was really upset that a lot of your left-handed players like Palmeiro and Grace were not pulling the ball with runners on second and less than one out.
Right.
And it was supposed to be a meeting on fundamentals. It turned out to be a meeting of much more.
Let's go to the calls for Hal Bodley, Winter Haven, Florida. Bob, you're coast-to-coast with USA Today's Hal Bodley.
Hello, sir. I called your program a couple of weeks ago, and I was told that the Detroit Tigers were going to trade Eric King and Steve Cirsi for Keith Moreland and Eric Schau, and nothing's happened. And also, you mentioned that they were trying to get Steve Balboni. Are the Tigers going to get somebody?
I'll answer that. The question was, when you called, is what were they going to make any trades? And I believe John mentioned something with San Diego, and you asked what for, and he said a pitcher, Eric King, and they have a terrific pitcher in Toledo. And there's always speculation when you talk to people in baseball that they don't want to give up somebody unless they have to. And there are a lot of rumors and a lot of deals that just don't come through. John?
And Hal had a good piece in one of the papers in USA Today this week about the waiver situation. And he, I'm sure, will agree that a lot more trades are still possible. Is that one possible, Hal?
It is possible, but I haven't heard too much about that one lately. What they're really talking about more than
Anything else is pitching. Most of the clubs are looking for pitching, as usual.
Right now, you know, the Tigers would love to have Balboni, and they would also love to have Brian Downey, but there are so many things that go into making a trade that right now the papers are just filled with rumors.
That's right. And let me tell you one thing very quickly. Dave LaPointe can be a free agent at the end of this season. So that was, you know, a risky deal for Pittsburgh to make. They must feel they can sign him to, you know, a multi-year contract, or at least keep him there for a while.
Indeed. Bob from Winter Haven, thank you for the call. We go to Kansas City, Missouri. And Bob, you're Coast to Coast on Baseball Sunday with Hal Bodley.
Two quick questions. Number one, could you give me the call letters of the station you might be on in the Boston area?
I can give you right now. It is WKOX AM in Boston.
In Boston.
KOX, WKOX in Boston.
My son lives there, and he wants to tune in your show.
Very good.
Okay, second question. How tenuous do you think the managerial spots are in Seattle, Kansas City, and with the New York Yankees?
Interesting. All right. Thank you for the call, Hal.
You bet. Well, I spoke with Woody Woodward, the new general manager in Seattle, a few days ago, and they're going to give Jim Snyder a long, hard look, and I wouldn't be surprised if he comes around next year because Woody said that really, at this point, they're not looking outside. They want to see how well he does.
Is he dynamic enough, Hal?
I don't think so. But, again, if he does a good job in the eyes of the general manager, they'll keep him.
Hal, of all Major League Baseball franchises right now, is the Seattle Mariner franchise the one that is teetering on the brink of disaster the most of any?
I would guess so. Also, the Texas Rangers. Pretty good chance the Rangers are going to be sold soon.
You know something, Hal, when the caller asked about Lou Piniella and John Wathan, here are two managers that are managing players that they've played with, and both are having a little bit of a disappointing time. What are your feelings about that situation?
It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult.
Maybe we should trade Wathan for Piniella.
What do you think about the Kansas City manager and the New York manager?
Okay, the Kansas City manager, I think that there's a possibility that the Royals might look outside the organization, try to get a named manager. If they cannot do that, they might bring Wathan back.
Interesting. They've changed managers quite frequently. Obviously, the death of Hauser was something of unexpected consequence. However, they have changed a great deal of manager positions since the days of Whitey Herzog, for instance.
That's right. And in New York, I feel quite certain that unless the Yankees really completely fold the rest of the year, that George will bring Piniella back next year because he had to, give him some assurances when he rehired him this year.
We need a break. This is Bodley on Baseball with USA Today's Hal Bodley, 41 past the hour. Kevin Harlan on Baseball Sunday will continue nationwide following these messages.
Maybe.
Forty-four past the hour. This is Bodley on Baseball. We go to Tampa, Florida. Bill, you're on with Hal Bodley of USA Today. Good evening.
Yes, Hal. I wanted to ask you. I'm a longtime Oriole fan. These last couple of years have been painful, and I wanted to ask you: do you foresee this as a trend the next couple of years, or they should unload Murray for some pitching, or what do you think?
No. Well, hello, Bill. I don't think that. I think the Orioles are going to take some time to get them back on the track, but I believe they're in the right direction.
I noticed their pitching staff had some complete games lately, which is a good sign.
They have a lot of youngsters that seem to be doing a good job. As you probably know, Edward Bennett Williams, the owner of the...
Right, he passed away last night.
...passed away yesterday at age 68. And I was talking with Commissioner Peter Uberoth, and he said the decisions were made to go with old, experienced players, go out and buy these players. Obviously, he was referring to the free agent market.
Like Fred, they signed Fred Lynn. He gets hurt every year. That was
he said, in his opinion, this is not the right way to go, but they made that decision, and the team has suffered because of it. And you have to believe that. I think that for whatever reason, Mr. Williams wanted a championship as quickly as possible, and he tried to go out and purchase players through the free agent market and do that, and it hasn't worked. But I don't think that Roland Heeman, who's running the ball club now, will be doing that. They're going to try to rebuild the farm system. You know, at one time, the Orioles had the best farm system in the
Exactly. Baseball. Gritch and Baylor in those days, they all came up. And
right.
I was going to say, it's
that's the way they'll be going, I think. Now, I think you'll see an improvement, but it's going to be, it'll take two or three years for them to get back.
Hal, what kind of owner was Edward Bennett Williams?
I think he was a very aggressive owner. I think he was very dedicated to the fans. His integrity, as far as the fans were concerned, was very important to him. For that reason, as he was... nearing his death, he worked very hard to get the new stadium contract. He did that. and he wanted the ball club to remain in Baltimore, in the Baltimore area, and that's what happened.
What's the question?
Peter Ueberroth said he was very, very difficult to spar with because he was, you know, a criminal lawyer, good debater, probably one of the best in the country. Ueberroth called him probably the most intelligent owner baseball has ever had. He was a tough man.
One of his proteges, in fact, I think, defended Ollie North in the trials or the hearings last summer.
That's right, and he was a champion for minority.
Yeah.
And if ever there was going to be a manager that, an owner that had a manager from the minorities, it would be Edward Bennett Williams. So when he hired Frank Robinson, I don't think most of us that know him well were surprised at all.
Right now in the Carolina League, in Hagerstown, the Orioles are in first, and in the Southern League, Charlotte, they're in third. And, of course, in AAA, Rochester's leading the division, and the only way the Orioles can go is up.
That's right. That's right. And they're showing signs of that. They're showing some consistency.
Okay,
they won today, and I think that, they're going to play hard the rest of the season, and I think they'll improve.
Bill, a final thought.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you guys. I was just going to ask, who do you think will manage next year? I heard Robinson's going back upstairs, or is he going to stay on the field?
The latest I've heard is Frank Robinson would like to have a new contract to manage the ball club.
Good, I like that. I think Frank adds a little aggressiveness to the ball club.
All right, Bill, thank you tonight for the call from Tampa.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We go to Milford, Massachusetts. And, Dave, you're on with Al Bodley, Coast to Coast on Baseball Sunday.
How you doing tonight, guys?
Great.
Well, Dave.
Okay, I'd like to ask you, Hal, about the Pittsburgh Pirates. In their minor league system, do you think that it'll hold them up there close to the top in the pennant races for the next couple of years?
I believe so, Dave. I think what Sid Thrift has done, he's done it very well. Each of the deals that he made the last few years, he's tried to get that throw-in player, that good young player, and that's helped rebuild the minor league system very quickly. The Chicago Cubs did the same thing under Dallas Green, and I think they have some good players in the minor leagues, and I see the Pirates continually improving over the next few years.
And do they have any, like, really big rising stars that we might see come up in September?
None that strike me at the moment.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you for the call. We appreciate it from Milford, Massachusetts. John?
Hal, speaking of the Pirates, it's been well talked about that Jim Leland has a number of fine coaches to help out with his duties in running the club. You mentioned managerial changes, and some will stay there, and some will move along. What about some of the potential coaching situations, coaches of the Pirates that have chances to be managers?
Well, I don't know too much about that. You caught me by surprise, but I think that you'll see some of the teams talking to his coaches, you know, at the end of the year.
We go to Kansas City, Missouri. Jake, you're on with Hal Bodley.
Yes, gentlemen, you're doing an outstanding job.
Thank you.
Hal, I'd like to hear your observations, let's say 1989, possibly mid-May, if Kansas City is not off track what they are as of right now. Do you think managerial change, and how about some hints on who you think might? You look at our lineup on paper, and there's no way we can be 15 games out of first place of this date today. Just unbelievable, the lineup on paper is just, I tell you, it's really a disaster.
And Jake and Hal, by the way, for Royals fans, this is the furthest out the Royals have been in the standings since 1970 on this date.
That's just, you know, unbelievable. Anybody you ask that follows baseball closely and you look at the lineup of the Royals on paper, no way possible.
All right, Jake, let's let Hal get a stab at it. Hal?
Well, I think that, you know, we've talked about this many, many times. The catching has been a big problem all season. The inconsistency has been a big problem all season. And obviously the team's not motivated. So, you know, the finger goes to the manager. And, you know, there is a good possibility there'll be a change there.
And I don't think there's any denying the fact in Kansas City that John Schierholz, the general manager, runs this team and is not the manager. And, of course, Wathan being basically a rookie manager, his first full season this year, and struggling the way he has, not only on the field with some moves, but off the field and in the clubhouse with some fights and some different controversy, whether it's warranted or not. It's the kind of thing that I'm sure Schierholz does not like to see. And as we said before, Schierholz runs this team.
People who know him well say he's been agonizing over what has happened in recent weeks, and you have to believe that.
Interesting. Jason, you have something to add?
Hal, I just did a little research on that Pirate question. Jackie Brown is coaching in Buffalo. He's managing the major leagues. Ray Miller's one of the coaches. He's, of course, managing the major leagues. And Gene Lamont has been rumored for Seattle. So you really have some good coaches in the Pirate organization.
Yeah, I feel quite certain that Ray Miller will surface sooner or later.
He's probably got to. Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. Annette, you're coast to coast with Al Bodley.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
Good evening, Hal. First of all, I'd like to ask you, recently in this week's column, you wrote, or somebody wrote an article about the Pittsburgh Pirates and their lack of hitting. Do you think, and basically you said one of the weaknesses was first baseman Sid Bream. Do you think Sid Bream, who's been swinging the bat well the past month, month and a half, can improve? Because they already have enough offense in their lineup. Do you think that Sid Bream can improve, or should they get rid of Sid Bream, go for a quality first baseman? Because he's not up to the caliber of Andre Scalarraga or Keith Hernandez, but he is improving.
No, I think the Pirates will stay with him. I cannot see them going out and getting someone else, because you're not going to get a Keith Hernandez or an Andre Scalarraga. And
yeah.
He's probably doing as well as he can at this stage of his career.
Yeah. And on the Cincinnati Reds, do you think there's a major shakeup in their lineup because of the fact that they, you know, their pitching's been great, Danny Jackson, Jose Rijo, and Tom Browning? Do you think that they're going to shake something up offensively to get something going? Because at this stage, they haven't done anything. They've just been kind of in the middle.
Well, they've been on a treadmill.
Uh-huh.
I thought the Reds would catch fire after the All-Star game. They showed signs of it prior to the All-Star game, but it just hasn't happened.
One of the big pluses for Cincinnati is when they traded Tracy Jones to Montreal, it opened up some playing time for Paul O'Neill, who's having a really outstanding year. Now, Jones was traded because he's a liability defensively, and he gets hurt a lot. And Paul O'Neill could be your next young superstar.
Annette, thank you for the call. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll wind it up with Al Bodley of USA Today, find out what his columns will be containing this upcoming week, and find out where he's going to send his reporters, where the hottest stories in baseball are for the week upcoming. We'll continue with Al Bodley with Bodley on Baseball following these messages. Wanted to sneak in one more call for Al Bodley from Wheeling, West Virginia. Richard, I got about 20 seconds for you.
20 seconds?
Unless you want to hold and come back the next hour. You tell me what you want to do, big man.
Doesn't bother me. It's an 800 number. You're paying for it.
All right. Why don't you call back? We can spend more time with you in the next hour, okay?
That's the president of the Vern Law Fan Club.
Yeah. Why don't you do that, all right, Richard?
Well, call back. Well, what time? Five
call call back in 10 minutes, all right?
10 minutes, okay.
Appreciate it. All right. And Hal Bodley, some stories you guys are working on this week in USA Today.
Well, I'm going to try to nail down when George Nikolaou is going to hand down his decision on Collusion 3. And, of course, beginning Tuesday, we reach what I call a lull in the season. This is when the teams play interdivision play, and then they get ready for returning to their own divisions around Labor Day. The Giants and the Dodgers play their final game of this series tomorrow night, and then it'll be the Mets at San Francisco. That'll be a big series. And over in the American League, we're going to look in at Oakland. They're playing the Baltimore Orioles, but just see how Oakland's going to do down the stretch. So
and
it should be an interesting week.
And Hal, Oakland at Boston later on this week. And speaking about Boston, I guess they're done with Detroit for the year. That seems kind of silly, doesn't it?
The way the schedule falls is really ridiculous.
Do you realize the last 20 games the Brewers play are all with Western Division teams?
That's right.
And if there's a tight race between Minnesota and Oakland, I think the Brewers will have something to say about it.
However, the last series between the Yankees and the Detroit Tigers, I believe, is in Tiger Stadium. That could have a lot to say about the standings in the
You're
East.
You're absolutely correct. I was looking ahead to that, and that'll be a good ender.
The man who gives us the national perspective from a man who's covered baseball in a long time in Major League Baseball, Hal Bodley of USA Today. Hal, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week on Baseball Sunday.
Looking forward to it.
Hal Bodley with Bodley on Baseball. John, you got a quick update?
I'll give you all the finals when we come back next hour here on Baseball Sunday. I will tell you the Mets have swept that doubleheader against Montreal.
Very good. Stay tuned for local programming for the next 10 minutes. Then we come back with another full hour of Baseball Sunday at 1-800-255-5708 right here.
No matter what your sport, all season long, the Sporting News brings it home to you every week. The thrilling.
When we come back with another full hour of Baseball Sunday at 1-800-255-5708 right here.
No matter what your sport, all season long, the Sporting News brings it home to you.
every week. The thrilling victories, the stunning upsets, the inside deals as they're happening in the sporting news. The Sporting News picks up where the other sports weeklies leave off to deliver more of what you're looking for. Complete, in-depth, up-to-the-minute news and stats without the fluff. Call now to get the Sporting News delivered right to your door for 75% off the newsstand price and half the regular subscription price. You'll get 55 issues for four easy payments of $7.50. Call now,
1-800-334-1212.
For the best coverage in sports, the Sporting News,
1-800-334-1212.
Via satellite, it's the program that has America talking baseball. This is Baseball Sunday on the Ford Entertainment Network, featuring the biggest stories from this week in baseball, guest interviews, and your calls from across America. Baseball Sunday is brought to you by The Sporting News. No matter what your sport, The Sporting News brings it home to you. And by U.S. Sprint, America's long-distance fiber optic network. And now, here's the host of our show, Kevin Harlan.
All right, Lance, thank you very much. It's 8 past the hour. This is Baseball Sunday. Kevin Harlan alongside Jason Dorfman. John Doolittle standing by in the newsroom. We'll go to him momentarily. Our phone lines are open and ready for your calls at 1-800-255-5708. And in the Kansas City area, the number is 576-7681. That is an 816 area code. Al Bodley was with us the last hour on Baseball Sunday, and of course, a week ago, we broke the story that Larry Boa was going to take one of the coaches' positions with the Philadelphia Phillies, and he made some other predictions tonight and fills us in on baseball every Sunday night right here on this station. All right, now to the newsroom we go. John Doolittle, 8 past the hour with a look at baseball today.
Kevin, the finals are all in across the American and National Leagues. We'll start at Fenway Park, Boston. It seems like it's a broken record. We've been starting there almost every hour of every show. Carl Bean has the report as the Red Sox finally go down to defeat at home.
During this home winning streak the Red Sox have been on of 24 games, they've won many of these games in spectacular fashion. Today, they lost in spectacular fashion, 18-6 to the Detroit Tigers. This game was over early, 4 in the first off of Roger Clemens. Chet Lemon, a 3-run homer to start things off, and then the Tigers picked up 5 more in the second inning, 5 more in the third inning. Clemens was long gone after that. The Tigers just pounded away at all the Red Sox pitchers today on the way to this victory. Eric King pitched pretty well, but there were innings in this game where maybe some big relays could have turned the tide, but being so far down, the Red Sox could not mount much of an attack. The big guys for the Tigers, Chet Lemon and Darrell Evans, 3 hits and 5 RBIs apiece. The totals on the game, Detroit 18-19-2, for Boston 6-11-0. King the winner, Clemens the loser, for the Rocket Man, his third straight defeat. The final again, Detroit 18, the Red Sox 6. The home winning streak ends for the Red Sox at 24. From Fenway Park, I'm Carl Bean for Baseball Sunday.
All right, Carl, as always, thank you very much. On the West Coast, it's a final as the Oakland A's have lost for a rare time against the California Angels. 6-4, the Halos beat the A's today on the West Coast. More on that game a bit later on. In Minneapolis, Jerry Hoffman has details as the Yankees take the Twins.
51,316 on hand at the Metrodome this afternoon. They went away disappointed as the Yankees scored 5 times in the top of the 7th, defeating the Twins today 9-6. Jack Clark singled home 2 runs in the top of the 5th, breaking a 2-2 tie, giving the Yankees the lead. Then in the 7th, they got the Twin starter Fred Tolliver and reliever Juan Berenguer for 5 runs and sending 10 men to the plate that inning. The Twins rallied in the ninth to score 3 times, 2 on a triple by Brian Harper, but it just wasn't enough. John Candelaria wins it. He's now 13-7 on the year. Tolliver, the loser, he's 4-2. On the line score, New York, 9 runs, 14 hits, 1 error. Minnesota, 6 runs, 14 hits, and 2 errors. Jerry Hoff in Minneapolis for Baseball Sunday.
At Royal Stadium, Kansas City, it was Luis Aquino pitching his first Major League shutout, allowing 6 hits, striking out 4, and walking 3 as the Royals bested the Toronto Blue Jays 6-0. And later on this hour, Our reporter in Kansas City, Greg Eklund, who visited with Ernie Witt after the game, talked about the former Blue Jay farmhand who's now pitching and pitching pretty well as of today with the Royals. Cleveland bested the Rangers today at Municipal Stadium 3-0. Greg Swindell got the victory, just his third in the last 13 decisions for Swindell. He's now 13-11. Doug Jones, his 26th save and 29 save opportunities. Home runs by Eddie Murray, Cal Ripken, and Mickey Tettleton lifted the Orioles over the Brewers today 11-9. And in Seattle, Mike Moore's four-hit shutout helped the Mariners bomb the White Sox 11-0. Moore struck out 11 hitters to raise his record to 6-13. Alvin Davis, Mickey Brantley, and Ray Quinones. Also, Henry Cotto each homered to power the Mariners' 14-hit attack. The big story today from Shea Stadium in New York saw the Mets completing a doubleheader sweep by downing Montreal 4-2 in Game 2 after the Mets took the opener 4-3. In the second contest, Sid Fernandez struck out 11 hitters in 8 2/3 innings of work to improve his record to 7-10. Roger McDowell, his 13th save. Dennis Martinez saw his 7-game win streak snapped. He's now 14-8. Howard Johnson homered for the Mets, his 22nd of the year. Tim Raines and Tracy Jones, long ones for the Expos. Mets now lead the Pittsburgh Pirates by 5 in the National League East, and the Expos slip back to 6.5 out. In Philadelphia, Pittsburgh's Andy Van Slyke, his 20th home run. That was the gamer as Pittsburgh defeated Philadelphia at the Vet 9-8. In Los Angeles, Anthony Moretti has details as the Giants finally found a way to defeat the Dodgers.
Following back-to-back losses in Los Angeles this weekend, the San Francisco Giants faced a crucial test today. Beat the Dodgers and their ace, Oral Hershiser. Did they ever? 4 runs each in the first and second innings set the stage for a Giant laugher as San Francisco pummeled the Dodgers 15-4. The Giants pounded out 20 hits to tie a season high, including a 3-run home run by Bob Melvin and a 2-run blast by Brett Butler. Melvin spoke about the importance of the victory afterward.
Yeah, we needed a big game today. Last two games didn't sit real well with us here, you know, especially a big series coming in here like this. And, you know, hopefully today gets a little bit loose again, and we'll come out and do it again tomorrow.
Hershiser was dispatched after 2 innings, his shortest stint of the season. He allowed 8 runs, but he was his own worst enemy. 2 errors by Hershiser led to 3 unearned runs to get San Francisco started. The beneficiary of the Giant attack was Kelly Downs. The right-hander improved to 12-9, beating the Dodgers for the second time in 3 weeks. Downs went 6 innings, giving up 3 runs and 8 hits. How good a day was it for San Francisco? Well, rookie pitcher Jeff Brantley tallied his first major league hit and save. I'm Anthony Moretti at Dodger Stadium for Baseball Sunday.
The rivalry continued at Wrigley Field, Chicago, between the Cubs and St. Louis Cardinals today. The Cubs wound up taking 2 of the 3 weekend series games. 8-3 the final. Darren Jackson has hit 3 home runs all this year, and all of them have come against lefties. And Darren Jackson's home run was the game winner today for the Cubs in their victory over St. Louis. In Houston, it was the Mark Parent show. He helped the Padres to a win 6-1 over the Astros. 2 home runs today and 5 RBI for Parent. Tim Burtzis helped the Reds to a 2-0 shutout of Atlanta with his first victory in 3 years. And that's the story from around the American and National Leagues. Still to come, Carl Bean has an interview later on this hour with the Tigers star Darrell Evans as the Tigers salvaged 1 game of 3 over the weekend series in Boston's Fenway Park. And Ernie Witt talks about Luis Aquino, the newest pitcher of the Royals. I'm John Doolittle in the Ford Entertainment Network newsroom.
Thank you, John. It's 15 past the hour. This is Baseball Sunday, heard coast to coast. In fact, this is the only radio baseball show heard nationwide that devotes itself solely to baseball. And we'd like you to join us, getting your calls, comments, and questions on Major League Baseball. Our toll-free line is 1-800-255-5708. In the Kansas City, Missouri area, it is 576-7681. I'm Kevin Harlan, alongside Jason Dorfman. We go to Miami Beach, Florida. Leo, you're on Baseball Sunday. How you doing?
Great. How are you, Kevin?
Great, Jason? Thank you. Fine.
Hi, Leo.
Great. I'm happy to hear that. I have a two-part question. I missed the interview with Hal Bodley, which I look forward to each week, and we had the Mets windup down here. First of all, the defensive play the last month or two has been pretty bad from what I see. Even though they're in first place, it seems like they can be in first place by at least another 7 or 10 games. Do you see that same type of thing there?
Mets are a little bit casual offensively and defensively. They've beaten everybody who's challenged them with their pitching, and I had the privilege of spending some time at Wrigley Field this week with Mel Stottlemyre.
Oh, boy.
And he claims, believe it or not, that Doc Gooden and Sid Fernandez are pitching the way they did in 86. He also thinks the same of Bob Ojeda. He explained prior to yesterday's game that Ojeda, in four starts, was given two runs to work with and won one of the games. He feels the experience in the bullpen with McDowell and Myers will carry them. But when you talk to Mets and Met people, Howard Johnson's having a quiet year, and the Mets don't really have the killer instinct. And from what my personal opinion is, Wally Backman should be playing a lot more than Tim Tuffle. In the game I saw Thursday, which was the second game that I had seen at Wrigley, they hit for Backman in the middle of the game, and Tuffle struck out, and then with a man on, they needed a sacrifice bunt, and he popped up to the first baseman. Backman makes things happen. I think he makes Dykstra a better ball player, but that's just one man's opinion.
And Leo, it's interesting you bring up defense, because on the other side of the coin is Sparky Anderson at Detroit, who always talks about defense first and offense second. I think that Davey Johnson, had he had that same philosophy, may not be finding the kind of defensive problems he finds himself with on his Mets team.
How much responsibility do you put on Johnson for that?
I put a lot, because I think Sparky Anderson has shown that a manager that does concentrate a great deal on defense will get overall great play, and the Tigers, I don't think, approach what the Mets have.
Well, it's interesting. You have to agree, because the manager is really a reflection of the team, but Bud Harrelson, who, of course, came up in 1966, is coaching for the Mets, and he's one of the top shortstops we've all seen in baseball. You know, a lot of people don't know this. When Harrelson came up, he used to go to Shea Stadium at 3 in the afternoon, and he was strictly a right-handed hitter. And Whitey Herzog, who was an instructor for the Mets, turned Harrelson into a switch hitter. And I believe the reason Herzog really dislikes the Mets now is because the managerial job went to Wes Westrom.
Instead of him.
Right.
All right, it's interesting. The other thing I wanted to have a follow-up question with Hal. I asked him last week about Davey Johnson managing next year. And he said that he thinks that Davey would want to manage next year if the Mets won the World Series. But I want you guys to help me for a second. I don't know. I've read that each year for the last year or two, this is Davey's last year. Have I been reading something different than you?
Well, I'll tell you what I heard, and of course, we don't see the Mets and we don't get the New York papers, so it's only from the contacts that we talk to around the country.
Okay.
Whether Johnson is back or not, it's too early to tell. Now, of course, if Davey Johnson wins, he may go fishing for a couple of years and then come back into baseball. And my sneaky suspicion tells me Davey Johnson will come back to manage the Yankees if he wins another World Series with the Mets. Now, if you look to see who's going to replace Davey Johnson, I believe Bill Robinson will be a manager, but not for the Mets. The word is Mike Cubbage at Tidewater. The Mets in the organization will bring him up. If Cubbage declines or if he goes elsewhere while Johnson stays with the Mets, they're very high on Sam Perlazzo.
Well, why don't you think Robinson would get the promotion there?
I think, and we said this weeks ago, I think Bill Robinson is the best candidate to be the next black manager in baseball. I just don't think New York's the place for a black manager at this point. I think they'd rather take somebody else in the organization, which would be a shame.
I'd like for you guys one weekend to talk about that. That's a real interesting question that you bring up right there.
We will do that. Leo, thank you tonight for the call from Miami Beach,
You're welcome,
Florida.
You're guys. Have a good week.
Okay, thank you.
I think, Jason, perhaps you talk about New York managers. What about Davey Johnson eventually also perhaps in the running for, say, a managerial post in Baltimore, where he played for a long time? And I think the next Yankees manager after Lou Piniella may just be Bucky Dent.
It's possible, because Dent's done a nice job, but, you know, Steinbrenner always does what nobody expects him to do. Mm-hmm. And if Davey Johnson takes a sabbatical after winning the championship again, and he's fishing somewhere with somebody, and all of a sudden George wants him back, and Davey doesn't have to sell his house to manage the Yankees.
There you go.
You're talking about black managers. I continue to think that Hal McCray, who is now a minor league hitting instructor with the Pittsburgh Pirates, is a guy that I think is revered by a lot of his contemporaries, and he's only about a year removed from Major League Baseball as an active player. And here's a guy that was actually offered the Kansas City job, turned it down because it was not more than just a half-season trial. I continue to think that he's going to wind up someplace with a Major League team, and not as a coach, but as a manager.
If he gets a managerial position, it may very well be for a potential expansion club in Florida, because he wanted to go back to Florida, back down near his home in Bradenton, to be a coach with the Pirates. I don't think he wants to. He turned down the Royals thing to be a manager here in Kansas City. I think if he's going to be a manager, it's going to be of a team in Florida whenever they get one.
All right, we'll take this break, 20 past the hour. This is Baseball Sunday. Kevin Harlan, Jason Dorfman, John Doolittle. We're coming to you live from the facilities of KCMO in Kansas City. I'd like to welcome two news stations in the Northbrook area, Chicago, Illinois, WSSY-AM. The program director is Tom Johnson, and the great K3E in Nacogdoches, Texas, K-E-E-E in Nacogdoches. Welcome to the family of Baseball Sunday affiliates on the Ford Entertainment Network. Let me take you now to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Keith, you're coast-to-coast on Baseball Sunday. Good evening.
Good evening. How y'all doing?
Great, thank you.
I got some questions I need to ask.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay, where did Rex Hudler come from? The Montreal second baseman?
From the minor leagues, from Indianapolis.
He's Indianapolis?
Doing a, yeah, he's doing a terrific job on the bases.
Showing some power of late, too. Three home runs of late.
What, has he always been in Montreal at the Expos organization?
I'm going to check that out for you right now.
What's your second question?
Jesse Barfield, what do you think Toronto's going to move him?
Giants would love to have him.
He fit in real well with the Giants.
Yeah, there's a potential trade lined up, isn't there, Kevin and Jason, with the Giants and Toronto getting together, perhaps for a couple of pitchers. I've heard, I don't know whether the Giants would give up on Dave Dravecki, but Terry Mulholland is a left-hander. The Blue Jays, I'm sure, would be interested in him. He, of course, is injured out for the year now with the San Francisco Ball Club. I know that Candy Maldonado's name has surfaced. Jason, perhaps he could go in that trade back east to Toronto for a guy like a Jesse Barfield.
Giants are really disappointed in the Candy Maldonado offensively. Seven home runs. He's around 50 RBIs. As far as Rex Hudler goes, he came up through Indianapolis. We don't have Montreal Expo guy to check out anything further, but maybe we'll have something for you next week.
And one last question.
Yes, sir.
Williams situation in Toronto, you think he'll be back next year?
Well, I'm going to be at Comiskey this week with the Blue Jays and the White Sox, and hopefully I'll find something out. I personally don't think he's going to be around at the end of the season, but with the six-game winning streak prior to today, might have saved his job for a couple of weeks.
Jason, question for you. Cito Gaston, is he a potential manager in Toronto?
Well, if you're having a list of black managers, Bob Watson, I think, is in front of him, maybe even Willie Stargell. Gaston's a good hitting coach, but there are so many people that I think would get the job before he would.
Okay.
All right, we have a toll-free line open at 800-255-5708. We go to Overland Park, Kansas. And Keith, you're nationwide on Baseball Sunday.
Yes, Kevin, I got a couple of questions for you, and then I'll get off the air.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you guys comment on them?
Fine.
First off, the Red Sox 4-2 over the Giants in the World Series. Is there anything to Roger Clemens' mini slump? Am I reading anything into that, or is it just that, a mini slump?
He just had a birthday.
And lastly,
yeah, he's 0-2 on his birthday.
0-3 right? After his birthday.
Who is Jason Dorfman? And the only thing I've ever heard of this guy was that he was a Howard Cosell imitator on Superfan. Give me a little background on him, and I'll get off the air.
On what? Thank you very much. On what? Who are you, Jason?
He must be talking about somebody else.
I don't understand
what
he's talking about.
There's a lot of Dorfmans in the phone book. I think they own a plumbing company here.
And a very respectable plumbing company.
That's another guy. He also goes around town doing Jackie Mason.
Yeah, very good. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. John, you're on Baseball Sunday.
Hi, Kevin. I just have a few questions.
Fine. Go right ahead.
I was wondering, are there any good baseball colleges you can think of besides Florida, Florida State, and University of Miami in Florida?
Arizona. Oh, in the state of Florida.
In the state of Florida.
Interesting. None that come to mind right now, and I think if the kid has any kind of talent at all, it would seem to be those schools that you just reeled off. I don't know that.
What about Florida International University?
Florida International, yeah. They occasion, and I'll tell you why that the schools down there flourish, because of the great weather, obviously, and a lot of kids from the Midwest and from the northern portions of the nation that want to play a lot of baseball will go right down there, and Florida International, yes, is a school that can be put, I think, in that category.
Okay, and also, second question, are there any college baseball preview publications that are published?
I was going to say Baseball America deals a lot with minor leagues. It touches a bit, John, on college baseball.
Oh, they do a great job.
Yeah. So I think Baseball America is the publication that you want to get.
And what you would like to do is call toll-free 1-800-845-2726.
Okay.
Tell them you want the college guide. It's 800-845-2726.
Okay, just one more question.
Yes, sir.
I happen to see Chris Sable's glove. I was wondering, do you know what model third baseman glove, close wet, glove that Chris Sabol wears?
It's not the Spuds McKenzie model. We know that.
I'm not sure what kind he wears.
Okay.
We will look it up and see if we can find out for you.
Okay. When would you possibly know?
Why don't you try calling us next week?
Okay.
All
thank
right.
You.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
Fort Wayne, Indiana. Mike, you're on Baseball Sunday.
Hi. I was wondering if the Phillies are going to pick up Mike Schmidt's option for next year. And if they don't, is there any chance that the Tigers would be interested in him?
I think Schmidt will end up playing with the Phillies next year. I think he's one of the few players that would like to be with one team his entire career, like George Brett and Carl Yastrzemski. The Tigers could use a third baseman with a lot of power, and they're thinking about Presley with Seattle. Presley might be having an off year now, but he's hit between 20 and 27 home runs 3 years in a row. But Brookins has really given them what they want.
Right.
But again, the question, Mike Schmidt, really would be a shame to see him in another uniform. That's my opinion.
Well, I think it would be a shame, too, but being a Tigers fan, I think that the Tigers need some kind of power from the right side that they don't have now.
He'd be a great hitter in Detroit, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
I think the Tigers have some good righties, but they're all a little bit up there in age.
Uh-huh. Yeah, with Knight and Herndon.
What would you say, 80-20 that he's going to be back in Philly, Jason?
Maybe 90-10.
Okay.
Got to look for it. Mike, thank you for the call tonight from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Toll-free lines open right now. They're available and open for the first time tonight, 800-255-5708. We go to Kansas City, Missouri. Bill, you're on Baseball Sunday.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
First of all, are you on any station in Arizona? I've got to go down there for a job.
Yes, we've got a station down in Phoenix, KCKY. I think it's really in Coolidge. KCKY in Phoenix.
Same station that carries the Cubs games down there.
Right.
I listen to that. My question is, Bill Bradley, are the Phillies disgusted with him enough, and what are the chances of the Royals trading Willie Wilson for him or picking him up in some other way? Why did he go wrong? Does he not know the National League?
Phil Bradley had a couple of real good years, but, you know, he played his ball at the Kingdom, and Veterans Stadium is a pitcher's ballpark. He's a workaholic. He's trying. He's making improvements. But I think he'd be valuable to so many teams as a young, fast outfielder that I hear him, Shane Rawley, are going to be packaged possibly to the National League. The Giants are loaded with pitchers, and they'd like to have a guy like a Von Hazen or Phil Bradley alternating in the outfield, which would put Mike Aldretti back on the bench as a pinch hitter.
It completely perplexes me why Bradley has not succeeded in the National League when he was such a dominant player in the American League for Seattle.
Well, two things. For those who don't know, the caller makes a point about Bradley coming to Kansas City. For those who don't know, he was the quarterback of the University of Missouri football team. There is that local angle. Secondly, there was the trade that wasn't. When John McNamara was in Boston, he wanted to get Phil Bradley along with Shane Rawley for Todd Benzinger and Jody Reed. That trade didn't go through, and perhaps it's best for Boston that it didn't.
What about Willie Wilson? Is he going to be gone next year, and do you think he's the real problem with the Royals?
Well, his on-base percentage is absolutely terrible. He strikes out way too much. He's a talent in center field going and getting the ball. His arm strength, as we all know, around these parts is not as it once was, or what a lot of center fielders' arms are. He is still a catalyst. When he's going well, he can be a positive thing for this Royals ball club. But, Jason, what about a trade involving a Willie Wilson lifetime contract, much like Quisenberry? What do you do?
Well, you know, a few years ago, Willie Wilson moved over to center field and Amos Otis moved over to left. And when you see Danny Tartable catching a ball in the outfield, I'm sure Brett Saberhagen would agree, it looks like a Steven Spielberg movie. I personally think that if you put Bo Jackson in center field and traded both Wilson and Tartable, you'd help your ball club a lot.
I think Jackson is now versed enough in outfield play to play center field. He catches as many as any left fielder in baseball right now, and he can definitely cover the ground that's required of a very good center fielder.
He's the fastest outfielder we have. He's got the best arm that we have.
Who's this
stuff?
The Royals, thank
Jackson
you.
Should be in center field.
Play there last night,
stuff.
Guys.
Yeah, that's
play
right.
there last night.
Right. Hey, thank you for the call from Kansas City, Bill.
Bye.
Appreciate the call. That opens up a line at 1-800-255-5708. And in the Kansas City area, it is 576-7681. Another half hour worth of calls coming up. We hope you can join us on Baseball Sunday, 33 past the hour. We'll continue following these words.
Back on Baseball Sunday, 36 past the hour, to the newsroom and John Doolittle.
Kevin, a couple of things. A final is in from Oakland, as we talked about. 6-4, the final. The Angels defeat the A's today behind Tony Armas, belting two home runs. The winning pitcher, Mike Witt, goes to 9-11. Mark McGuire's 22nd home run of the year for the Oakland Ball Club, but they fall a couple of runs short. A rare Oakland loss to California head-to-head. Oakland has dominated that series this year. A couple of other things. A feature with Greg Eklund, our reporter here in Kansas City, as he talked with Ernie Witt after today's Royals-Blue Jays game about Luis Aquino, the man who came over in a trade with Toronto. Juan Manica is involved in that deal. And Ernie talked about Aquino, what he knew about him, and a couple of other things revolving around the Blue Jays.
What was your impression of him at that time?
Well, I was impressed with him at the time. You know, he's very deliberate out on the mound, but yet he's sneaky quick. And when he's able to get his changeup over like he was today, he's really effective, and he accomplished that today.
Did he appear more polished now that he's had a year past him since the time he was with the Jays?
Well, I think he's going to be more polished because you get more time of pitching, and that was the one thing when he was with us. He was inconsistent, but yet, you know, he did have a good arm, and that's the biggest thing. You know, his actions out on the mound are very slow, and it's almost like putting the other team to sleep. But he did a great job out there today. You got to give him a lot of credit.
You guys still have to feel pretty satisfied, though, leaving here, keeping the team's mark above 500, and the first time it's been happening that way since April, I guess.
Well, you know, you've got to be happy anytime you win 2 out of 3, but we've got to keep going and, you know, hopefully put another long streak together. You know, we've got a lot of ground we've got to make up, but we can still do it.
When you guys see what a team like the Boston Red Sox did after the All-Star break, is that reason to believe that there's something like that possible on this team?
It's very possible. We've got a lot of talent on this team, and, you know, we've just got to get the combination of pitching and hitting together. If we do that, then we're very capable of doing it.
Blue Jays catcher Ernie Witt with our Kansas City Baseball Sunday reporter Greg Eklund.
All right, John, thank you. And Jason, you had an update on Rex Hudler.
Right. I've got the Montreal Expo press guide here, and because it's written in English and French, it's very thick. I don't know how it got through customs. Anyway, Rex Hudler's 28 years old for a rookie, and last year batted .255 at Rochester with 33 stolen bases. Now, my feeling is, if he was at Rochester, who on the Orioles was an Expo last year? So I think after the press guides were printed, just before the season, he probably went in a real small deal for Jay Tibbs. That's exactly the way I look at it.
39 past the hour. This is Baseball Sunday. We go now to Miami Beach, Florida. Jack, you're coast to coast on Baseball Sunday.
Hello, how are you?
Great, thank you.
First of all, I'm a devoted Cardinal fan, and I've been suffering this season. You live around there. Do you think they have any deals going for somebody?
Oh, I think they're going to be very active in the offseason.
In the free agency market, I think they're going to make a tremendous offer to get Tim Raines. And I think they've had a lot of pitching problems 2 years in a row. And the Cardinals will be back. They've got a terrific manager and a lot of talent. What they lack is the home run ball, John.
And the two-out hit. That's been a big key this year.
And it indeed has.
Do you see them signing Tommy Harrigan?
It's possible, but Hal Bodley seems almost dead sure that he's going to Philadelphia.
Right. I also don't think Tommy Herr is the difference.
All right. And I have about two more questions. One, the Seattle Mariners have a deal with the city that they have to draw 1,600,000 people so they could stay in Seattle. And if they don't, do you think Miami will make an offer to get them down here?
I don't know about expansion. I know St. Petersburg has that beautiful dome. I would think St. Petersburg before Miami.
I also think Vancouver is just starving for baseball, and there's been talk being the close proximity of Seattle to Vancouver, closer than anywhere else, obviously, and they may make a run at the Mariners franchise.
I have to go. Could you just answer one last question?
Sure.
Do you ever see Miami in the next 5 years getting an expansion or a baseball team down here?
Well, I think they've gone a long way to get the NBA, and I really think that now Major League Baseball will see how the NBA will survive in Miami. And if they can survive with the Dolphins and survive with the Miami Heat, maybe indeed there'll be Major League Baseball in Miami, Florida. We now go to Kansas City, Missouri. Elaine, you're on baseball.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Listen, I want to ask a question and a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
They said today that they was advancing Tom Gordon and catcher.
Who's they? Who's they, ma'am?
The Royals.
The Kansas City Royals,
yeah,
all right?
To Omaha.
All right.
And they also said about advancing two more up to Memphis.
All right, Tom Gordon, by the way, for our listeners around America, is probably the most promising pitcher in the Royals minor league system. John?
He tossed a three-hitter and struck out 11 for Memphis as they defeated Birmingham last night 5-0. Gordon is 6-0 at AA with an 0.7 ERA with the Chicks. I think he's worthy of a promotion upstairs to AAA Omaha.
We talked about him last week, and I just hope they don't rush him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, right now, I don't know if there's much room for him to be rushed because they seem to be so set on who their starting rotation consists of. I just don't know if right now they want to bring him up as the season is winding. They may bring him up just to take a look at him, but I don't think it's going to consist of any extended wear at the major league level.
Yeah, man, my comment is I wonder if they could find somebody else for right field. He has just goofed up the place.
You're talking about Danny Tartable.
Yeah,
I know.
Sure, he makes Lonnie Smith look like Paul Blair.
That's what I was wondering. My son was out there the other night and said by the time he chased the ball down, two runs had scored.
Elaine, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Yes,
Kevin,
sir.
Before you take the next call, we just talked about the Miami Heat briefly. I think there's a line in Las Vegas. Who will win more games this year, the Heat or the Dolphins?
Interesting. We go on now to Warsaw, Missouri. Mike, you're nationwide on Baseball Sunday.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to know if they think if Herzog cannot do the job by the All-Star break next year, do they think he is gone, and what other changes do you think will happen with the Cardinals?
He is in no trouble whatsoever.
I don't think so. I think he is so well ingrained in that organization, I don't think he'll ever leave. I really don't.
I envision Herzog leaving after a world championship, whether it be the next one or two championships down the road. This is a man who will never get fired.
Even though they've lost the last two, even though...
The World Series, you mean?
Yeah.
Whitey has a great line about the World Series. He talks about 24 other teams not being there, and he's been there in 82 and won it, was there, and darn near won it in 85. Many thought he should have won it, and darn near won it with a very, very bad ball club, I think, last year. I mean, it's just showing from last year to this year, how good were they last year, or how bad are they this year? Probably not each to each extreme. They're somewhere in the middle, but if you can get to the World Series, you got to be a pretty good ball club and have some breaks, and Whitey's a good manager.
There really are no losers in a World Series, and the rings and paychecks will prove it.
Exactly. Mike, thank you for the call tonight from Warsaw, Missouri.
Thank you.
We go next to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Jerry, you're nationwide on Baseball Sunday. Good evening.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing great,
Jerry,
thank you.
How you doing tonight?
Oh, okay. How about you?
Not too bad. I was just thinking about you this week.
Why?
Well, last week you went on the air and nationally you told us how old you were, so I know you probably remember the Phillies in the late 50s and the early 60s.
Yes, I do.
You know what I miss most about the Phillies, and I want your opinion on this. Phillies had these outstanding uniforms where they had the largest numbers. They really stood out.
I remember them, yeah.
Richie Ashburn had a one that went from his neck to his belt. Tony Taylor wore number 8, and it looked like railroad tracks that you'd give a kid on Christmas. I really miss those uniforms, don't you?
They were big numbers.
Hey, wait. Hold on one second.
Yeah.
Wait a minute now. Why, Jerry, is Jason all of a sudden being somewhat friendly with you on the air? Now, see, if I were you, I'd be suspicious.
Why are you friendly with me, Jason?
Yeah.
I don't know. Jerry.
You know, something's not right here.
I took a Jerry pill this morning.
Oh, see,
I just wanted to talk about the days of Rapolsky and Ennis and Robin Roberts and Ashburn and Taylor and just those beautiful uniforms that we don't have. Today, Phillies come out for batting practice wearing burgundy.
Well, you know, they're colorful too. I mean, I don't care. I don't care what uniforms they wear as long as they look. I don't miss the gray road uniforms of any team. I like the blue road uniforms we got. I like colorful road uniforms.
Jerry, it looked like for a while the Phillies were going to do it to your friends, the Pirates, your cross-state rival. They swept a doubleheader the other night. And then what happened in the final two games of the series?
Well, what happened, Barry Bonds saw his daddy in the old-timers game last night hit a home run. And he said, well, if my dad hit a home run, I could hit two. And he hit two last night, and they won. And I guess he got inspiration from his daddy. I think he got 4 hits on the night. And then today I went down to see the game, and we were down 8-2. And I say, I told my friend that baseball. And of course,
you have
I think,
a friend?
Oh, now hey.
You,
sniper fire!
I got a friend, which is which is one more friend than you'll ever have.
I couldn't agree more, Jer.
And, you know, we were down by 6 runs. I said, baseball is the only sport where you don't have a time clock.
That's exactly right.
And you would get 5 runs in the seventh and 1 in the eighth. I said, okay, we tie them up. We win in the bottom of the ninth, but Vance ruined it.
Hey, Jerry, we got about 30 seconds. A question or comment tonight?
Was Vance Leick's father in the stands?
What? No, I don't think he is.
I mean, you blame the other game on Barry Bonds' father. Where was Vance Leick's dad?
Well, he's got 20 home runs, Andy Vance Leick. He's a good hitter. He's a good power hitter, which is something that Gary Carter is, in my opinion, the most overrated singles hitter in the game of baseball.
Hey, Jerry, we've got to run. We just ran out of time.
That's all right, and I just wanted to... Just want to tell Gary Carter to enjoy his check because he's not worth it.
All right. Hey, Jerry, thank you.
Okay.
That's Jerry from Philadelphia, a weekly caller and a feature, I think, in the near future on this show.
We ought to have our callers call him.
Yeah. 47 past the hour. This is Baseball Sunday. We're back on Baseball Sunday. Toll-free lines open right now, and if you call, we'll put you right on 800-255-5708, Miami Beach, Florida. And, Pitt, you are nationwide on Baseball Sunday.
Okay, as I said, Pitt is Pittsburgh Pirates.
Ah, okay. Very good.
Let me ask you this, sir.
Yes, sir.
I don't get the Saturday and Sunday papers for some reason, rather. Now, Rex Reed, he was supposed to make another start. Did he pitch in any of these games the last couple of days?
Reed was supposed to pitch this weekend. I don't know how he did. John, I think he was supposed to go Friday or Saturday night.
Who are you talking about?
Rex Reed, the new pitcher that he got. You know,
the rookie that shut out the Mets last week.
Yeah, did he pitch Saturday and Sunday? Or Friday and Saturday?
I think he pitched in a doubleheader, and of course the doubleheader was...
They lost, so in other words, he got knocked around?
Well, it's possible. I don't think we followed him that closely.
All right, so let me ask you this now. This new guy that they got, not new guy.
Dave LaPointe?
Yeah, what's the deal on him? Why did they get rid of a guy who's a starting left-hander?
Well, Dave LaPointe's a lefty, and John Smiley has not won since the All-Star game, and the only other lefty on the team is Bob Kipper. If the Pirates feel, and of course Sid Thrift is very optimistic, that they'll chase the Mets, they need another lefty, and LaPointe's a veteran.
So they figured that LaPointe will do the job. I know I didn't care for Barry Jones there.
Well, LaPointe's a very good pitcher. He's also a lot of fun in the clubhouse.
Thank you, Pitt. Appreciate the call tonight.
Okay, right.
Thank you so much for calling. You had a Darrell Evans trivia question, by the way. Should we save it and we can do it right after the commercial?
Well, sure, why not?
All right, we'll do that. We got to take a break. 55 past the hour. This is Baseball Sunday, and we'll continue following these messages. Jason Dorfman has a Darrell Evans trivia question. We just heard from Darrell Evans with Carl Bean at Boston's Fenway Park.
Well, it's a great question because the question would be, who was on base when Henry Aaron hit number 715 off Al Downing? What makes that such a good question is Darrell Evans is still an active player.
Isn't that something? After all the, 74?
73.
73 hit that. In fact, I was in Atlanta last night at Fulton County Stadium, and in front of that stadium, they got a big bronze statue of Henry Aaron. Taking that swing and kind of used to fall off balance when you take that swing.
Just a great question.
It was, yeah. John, quickly.
About Reed, 4 innings for the Pirates last night, 7 hits allowed, 4 runs, all of them earned, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. Final scores today, San Francisco 15, Dodgers 4, San Diego 6, Houston 1, Cincinnati blanked Atlanta 2-0, Cubs over the Cardinals 8-3, Pittsburgh over Philly 9-8, Mets sweep the doubleheader against Montreal 4-3 and 4-2, the winners in the AL, California, Detroit, Cleveland, Kansas City, the Yankees, Baltimore, and Seattle.
Thank you, John. Have a good week. Jason, you're going to Chicago this week, right?
Best hot dogs in the American League, Comiskey Park.
Doug Winfrey is our studio coordinator. Bill Ford is the executive producer. I'm Kevin Harlan. Good night, everybody. This has been a presentation of the Ford Entertainment Network.